This episode of the God and Mental Health podcast is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. I am so excited to tell y'all about this brand because it has been so helpful to me. So I am not in my 20s anymore. And as I'm getting older, I'm really kind of understanding a little bit more about my hormones after having two kids. I'm really understanding like my mood shifts, my fatigue, sometimes my stress throughout the month, especially during those cycles of time before my period. So I recently started researching cycle seeking, and it was so helpful for me because I really kind of began to understand these different changes when I am feeling overwhelmed, when I am feeling tired, when I am feeling like my mood is different. I'm also just experiencing some of those kind of early PMS symptoms of like bloating and gassy and poor sleep and kind of racing thoughts and low mood. And so I started doing some research into cycle syncing and kind of came to understand that our different periods before our cycle change because of our hormones. And so I was thinking about a way to combat this, and Happy Mammoth is a brand that I think is going to be super helpful to some of my audience that might be experiencing some of these things. And so I think a lot of times we kind of associate our different moods with something's wrong with us, or that there is actually something that we're struggling with mental health wise, but not really understanding that as a woman, we naturally have up and down moods because of our hormones. And so for me, if you are someone that's maybe in your mid-20s and you're kind of seeing like during different periods of the month, you're more sad or you're more overwhelmed, this might be a good opportunity for you to maybe supplement and try to combat that with some of the amazing products at Happy Mammoth. So I want to talk to you all about particularly one specific product called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And it means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. If you're someone that definitely struggles with maybe bloating or maybe sleep or even racing thoughts or low moods, Hormone Harmony would be perfect for you. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order with Happy Mammoth. Just use the code THERAPY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HappyMammoth.com. And use the code THERAPY for 15% off today. Now, let's get back to the show. Hey, sis, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. So I wanted to start off this episode with just a little quick intro. I know that we are all currently going through different things related to inflation. Gas prices are like just looking like ghetto numbers, girl. And so I wanted to bring on one of my friends, Tiffany, who is a financial coach. And she has just an amazing story around debt, paying off debt, and just financial health overall. And so I know that financial stress can be one of the many causes to our stress as it relates to mental health. And I know that anxieties come up when it comes to finances, how to get your finances in order. We're all thinking about creating generational wealth, but never really, if you haven't been given the tools to know how to properly do so. So me and Tiffany are going to talk about in a part one and part two episode that you'll hear next week on financial health. She's going to talk a little bit about money story, mindset when it comes to money. I'm going to share a little bit about my own money story, which y'all have heard before, but for those of you that are new, you'll be able to hear that. And then next week, we're going to go into great detail around how to pay off debt, how to increase your income, how you can do different things to just get more money into your bank account. And so I really thought that this would be a great opportunity to just kind of share this. This is one of those episodes that you want to go back and listen to over and over. If you are interested in anything related to learning about that, Tiffany is so good and so awesome. So I really hope that you enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to y'all soon. The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Rosin Renee, and welcome to the show. Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Therapy is a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Rosin Renee. Welcome to another episode of the show. And y'all, I am super excited about this interview. I'm going to be interviewing my sis, Tiffany. We met in a group coaching program for our businesses. I want to say last year, was it, Tiffany?
Yeah, probably last year.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring Tiffany on because she is definitely an expert when it comes to money, mindset, all of those things when it comes to debt. And I know that finances can be a very big stressor for people and really impact their mental health. So we're going to actually be doing a part one and part two series around money and debt. She's going to share her story in this episode. And I really hope that y'all get a lot from just understanding a little bit more about the stresses of money, money story, and what it looks like, because so much, not only with money impacting our mental health, really understanding where we started to learn those behaviors of money and spending money and saving money all started off when we were growing up. So Tiffany, why don't you say, hey, girl, and tell us a little bit about you.
Yes. Hello. I'm Tiffany. I am the founder of The Lotus Legacy, and I've been trying something new. So bear with me, you all. So I like to introduce myself with like the essence of who I am. So I am at heart a dreamer. I'm a problem solver. I love change. So I'm a change maker. So if things aren't working, I am not afraid to make things happen. And I'm really like an encourager and a champion of women. So that's who I am, like at the core. And obviously, so I use all of those things in my business as a personal finance and mindset coach. You know, I help my clients solve problems with their money. I help them dream about what they want their lives to look like. I champion them through all of the obstacles and struggles of getting started. And so it's a really great balance. So I am a certified financial coach. So again, I help people with their day-to-day finances, and I'm also a mindset coach. So I help you with your money mindset. And so I love this conversation about money story, because this is where the root of your mindset really begins. So I'm excited to join and have this conversation.
Yeah. So first, let me just say that intro was bomb. But second, tell us how you got into wanting to be a certified financial coach.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this basically just goes straight into my money story. So I grew up in a household where money management wasn't taught. It was an adult conversation. And right. So I didn't see my parents managing their money. If anything, I saw them fighting about money. I didn't really see a healthy relationship with money at home. In school, money management wasn't taught. So I went into an early adulthood. I call myself like, if YOLO was a person, like that was me. So I made so many money mistakes, like as an early adult, right? Because I went from not really having to manage money at all to being on my own and working and having, you know, access to a lot of money and not knowing what to do with it. So just about any and every money mistake that you can make, from overdrafting your account, maxing out credit cards, having my car almost being repoed, you know, all of the things, withdrawing money from my 401k or cashing out my 401k whenever I left the job, all those things that they say that you aren't supposed to do with money. I did about all of those in early adulthood because I didn't have that experience and that knowledge. And when I got married to my husband, you know, my husband was pretty good with money and we didn't have any debt going into our marriage. But after we got married, we went into that our marriage with just kind of like that same kind of YOLO mindset, bought a house, had a kid, and did the absolute most. It ended up in $91,000 in debt. And I knew that something had to change, right? Like if I was going to live the life that I wanted to live, and I always told the story is, you know, really what happened for me was a vision. And God speaks to me in visions. And so I saw a video montage almost of what my life could look like on both ends of the spectrum. So what would happen if I didn't do anything and we stayed on the course that we were on and, you know, racking up that much debt. And it was probably like 18 months that we got that much debt. What would happen, right? And I saw conflict in my marriage. I saw financial stress and struggle that I've seen throughout my life with different adults in my family. I saw possible divorce. So I saw all the things that it could look like if we didn't make any changes. And then I saw the other side, like what would happen if I changed my life with and my mindset with money? And I saw, you know, my kids going off to college and I had to look of pride in the crowd, like as if I had something to do with that. I saw my kids getting married. I saw my husband and I traveling, and I saw just a lot of harmony and peace in my life. And I knew then that I needed to do something drastically different and change. So I started with Dave Ramsey, and I use a pretty loose Dave-ish type of process with my clients now. But I started with the Dave Ramsey program. We paid that debt off in 3 years. But through that process, I realized that there's a lot of people who are still stuck in that place that haven't really figured out how to make that mindset shift to do the things that they know that they want and need to do.
This episode of the Therapy is a Christian podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, which I know we all have, BetterHelp is here to help. So I think about all the time when I first started therapy back in 2018, and if I had never taken the step, where my life would be at now, especially having had now become married, have a kid, gone through a pandemic, being pregnant in a pandemic. And I remember just in general, when I got engaged to my husband right before starting therapy, how overwhelmed I was. Just the thought of I'm about to commit my life to this person and I don't even know how to cope with anxiety. And just feeling so overwhelmed all the time. And so I'm so thankful that I took the step to actually go to therapy, because I really believe I gained so many tools from having that experience. And now still being in therapy now, 4.5 years later, I've learned so much throughout those different transitions, specifically just having a space for myself. So BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. When you talk to your therapist, you're able to talk to them in a private online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be in your area. You may be a college student and really needing an online experience. You may be a working mom who doesn't have the time to actually go drive to a therapist's office. Or you may be somebody that works from home and likes the convenience of being able to take a break during your day to meet with your therapist. All you need to do is just fill out a small questionnaire to be able to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist within 48 hours. Then you'll schedule a secure video and phone session, plus you'll be able to exchange unlimited messages. And that is so amazing because everything you share with them is completely confidential, which means they can't go out and share your business with other people. So the useful part about this, and I think what is amazing, is when we transitioned into the pandemic, I was able to actually meet my therapist online, and I did not realize how much of a convenience that was. And it was so, so helpful. So if you get matched with a therapist and you don't like them, or you don't feel like you are really able to open up to them, you can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime. So y'all, join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. I have a special offer for you guys, for the Therapy as a Christian podcast listeners, where you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Roslyn Renee. That's better, BETTER, help, help.com/Roslyn Renee, RosLynRene. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. Now let's get back to the show.
With money, because we all know that managing money is important. You know, you need to make sure that you're expenses and your income match. We know all of these things. We know we need good credit. We know we need to save and plan for retirement, but we just don't know where to start. And a lot of that starts with your money story and your mindset. So I knew that I wanted to be able to give back and share my experience and then help somebody else as well.
Yeah. So even when you were kind of in your YOLO phase, were there ever moments where you were like, girl, get it together? Like mm-hmm. multiple times? Because I think mm-hmm. before we really address the issue, there is continuous signs of self-awareness of like, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. This isn't moving me forward. What did that look like for you before y'all kind of got to this place of we need to start working through our debt? Even before you got married, like, were there multiple moments of you were like, okay, this isn't working? How did you kind of perceive that? And what before, because sometimes we're just also like, okay, whatever, I can't deal with it today. We kind of go back into old habits. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely on that seesaw that I feel like a lot of people are on when it comes to their finances, right? They'll be gung-ho one day and all on board and they're, you know, they got their budget laid out and they're super strict. And then it's like, you know, binge drinking or binge eating or something like that, right? Like where you just completely fall off the wagon and it's really hard to recover from that. Because then once you do it, then you're like, oh, you're feeling guilt and shame and you're beating yourself up about it. And then it makes it hard to start the process all over again. And I went through so many phases of that. Actually, you know, even before I met my husband, like that was a huge stressor in the relationship that I had with my ex. And that was ultimately the reason why we split up, is because, you know, he was really good with money and wanted me to budget and wanted me to save, but I was not ready to hear and receive any of that. But God knew what he was doing, because that was not the man for me. And that's a story for another day. But, you know, even like those little things, like those nudges, those signs, all of that conflict was always there. But it wasn't easy for me to see until I had that vision, until God like really revealed to me, you know, what was possible for me in my life on, again, both ends of the spectrum. I wasn't able to make any changes.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that comes up too, because I think about for myself, my personal money story. So I've talked about this before on the podcast, but if you haven't heard, so my parents, growing up, we didn't really talk about money, but I want to say when I was in middle school, my parents, late elementary, early middle school, my parents started a business and they were very lucrative. They were actually, they made millions of dollars in revenue on their business.
Nice.
So the great thing about that is we weren't struggling for money. The cost on the other side of that was I was exposed to really the negative side of that, in the sense of when my parents got money, there were two different people. My mom was the saver, my dad was the spender. So you think of someone who has a lot of money and they already don't really know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. They just spend it. And so I saw a lot of like them having constant conversations about money and mm-hmm. like the struggle of having to work hard to repay things. And then when things got really bad towards the end of their business, I saw a lot of us, like, we would get our cars repo, people mm-hmm. come knock on the door, like all kinds of different things would happen. Mm-hmm. And so my connotation with money very early on was that a lot of money or a lot of having a lot of income meant you're going to lose it all. So my mm-hmm. my perspective was very like shaped around, oh, we don't need a lot of money. However, I also felt like I had a lot of tendencies of my dad in the sense I would spend money. So there was never really like a budget conversation. I think I didn't really kind of understand the concept of budgeting until they lost everything. So my parents ended up filing bankruptcy. They ended up closing down their business, all this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. And so my mom, for a long time, pretty much all of high school, was paying down debt that they had and gained through their business. So she was scraping to get by. Like every single penny was accounted for. So I saw the concept of budgeting, but budgeting also meant to me struggle. So there was no real like positive understanding of money. I did work a job when I was in high school. I understood like, okay, if I save this amount of money, I can buy this. I understood that. But there was never really like a conversation of discussion of 401k. There was mm-hmm. never really a conversation of credit cards. We did have the conversation of credit cards. My mom just never told me never get a credit card. So I never got a credit card in college. never even understood why people would sign up for all these credit cards. And I was like, y'all are crazy. I'm not doing that. Girl, but after college, I don't know what happened, but I remember specifically starting a job that I was going to have to like get dressed up to go to work. And I would go to beautiful JCPenney because they had all the coupons and they would give you all the rewards if you had a credit card. I don't know what happened. I just racked up that credit card. So I remember constant moments, and it was just early 20 decisions, like buying bundles of weave and going to go get my hair done. And then I had an apartment and I wanted to furnish my apartment. Just no real concept of, if I swipe this card, I'll be able to pay it back. Like, right. Oh, this is just $20 here. But never really a concept of, this is eventually going to be maxed out and you can't go forward with this. And so I think money story is a great place to start, because I think a lot of times we want to address the action, but we're not understanding the mindset behind it. Like, I really want you to go into detail about that, because actions I think are great to address, but we don't really realize like mindset is such a big thing. And also a lack of knowledge can really impact the way you perceive why these things are important.
Exactly. Right. So same. Right. My mom told me never to get credit cards, but she never told me why not. And she never told me like if I did, what to do with it. Right. So that lack of financial education also,
and the interest on these store credit cards is just,
it's bonkers. They are ridiculous, right? So if you're going to get a credit card, don't get a store credit card, right? So we didn't have access to that sort of information in order for us to make like better decisions with it, right? Like if we had known, then maybe we would have done things differently. So there definitely is a big part of that that goes back to the financial education. But as far as the actions, I've recently changed like the entire process that I take my clients through, and is so much more and focused on the mindset and the money story. And we don't touch any numbers or budgets or do any of that sort of stuff, but until, talk about the actions and behavior, until we get to like the root of the mindset and the money story and what was currently happening, right? Because CBT, we know that, you know, our thoughts impact our emotions, and then our emotions will impact our actions. So until we start capturing these thoughts, it's no point of us like building a budget and trying to pay off debt if we haven't addressed the underlying things, because you're going to find yourself being right back where you started. Again, we're back in that yo-yo thing where you can make a budget, it'll be gung-ho for a while, and then you can easily fall off the wagon. And I don't want to just help people solve quick short-term problems, like just continue to put band-aids on things. I'm here to help people break some generational curses. So in order for us to do that, we really have to get to the root of, you know, what your money story is and what those mental and mindset blocks are, so that we could address them before we take any actions. And I love that you shared that with your story, right? Like the budget for you felt like, what did you say? It felt like
struggle,
right? Yeah. It felt like struggle, and we don't,
there was no freedom. But I think the concept of that, and I also really want you to address like some of the things that come up, like avoidance and hiding and fear. But like, I think those associations become subconscious. So when you become an adult, like you experience these things as a kid, but you're also like, probably not old enough to get a job, probably not old enough to do anything or like really do anything with money. But also, we probably thought like $500 back then was just like rolling in the dough. Baby, $500 is nothing now. Okay. So when you become an adult and you have to actually start working the system that you learned, you find, if you have the awareness, that it can be broken. I think I didn't realize how broken it was until I got married, because me and my husband worked very differently when it came to money. He's very frugal. He's also extremely like, if we're on a plan, we're on a plan. But he's also the person that's like, if we're on a plan and we ain't got enough, they gonna get it when we get it, kind of thing. Whereas I'm like, pay it on time, fam. Like, what you doing? Yeah. So I'm also very organized. So I'll create it, but sometimes I won't stick to the plan. I'm the spender. So we had this conflict very early on in our marriage. And it was causing a lot of issues. And we addressed it head on in the first year of our marriage. We paid off a lot of debt. I think we paid off over like $13,000. I don't think I ever told you the number of debt over a course of like a year, I want to say.
Nice.
Which allowed us the opportunity, like when we had our son, we planned for him. Like we just did a lot of stuff. And then even our mindset towards credit cards and a lot of other stuff has shifted a lot. But we were very, very strict for a while. So that strictness was still there. It was like, it felt like struggle. Like we didn't have a clothing budget for a while. But I think what changed was I didn't feel like I could hide any more of the things that I was struggling with him, because it was so present. And we're the marriage that we share everything. We don't, this person pays half, this other person, we don't do that. Everything comes on one pool.
Yeah.
So it's finding a system that worked for us. But I also think one of the biggest things and reasons why people don't address it is the avoidance. If I avoid this, it'll just go away. And that kind of goes in general with whenever we're doing anything. If you don't want to, if you're trying to do goals, if you're working after things, if you don't work towards it, if you avoid it, it's like, okay, it'll go away, but it's still there. And money is probably one of the biggest things that I think always will be there, because it's such a huge part of what we do day to day.
Yeah, money is intertwined in our lives more than we even really realize, right? As soon as you wake up, you're making money decisions, from the type of toothpaste you buy, the toothbrush you use, the type of, you know, soap that you use, the food that you eat, right? Everything. Money is intertwined in our lives on so many different levels. And so it's important for us, like we can't continue to avoid it. You know, there's the three approaches that I see that are common, is an avoidant approach where you're like, okay, either if you have a spouse, you're passing it off to your spouse and like, I'll just let them deal with it, which is not healthy, because if one, you should always be in a know, women belong in any spaces that decisions are being made. Okay, rest in peace, RBG. And two, you want to be able to, if anything were to happen to your spouse or to your relationship, you want to be able to maintain yourself and listen outside of that. Child.
Girl, okay, because I think so I just want to go here brief before you finish the three parts, because I think me and my husband didn't really realize just how lack of prepare we were until I got pregnant. And we were like, we don't even have life insurance. How do we not have life insurance? If something were to ever happen to either one of us, neither one of us would be prepared. Yeah. And life insurance policies are so inexpensive.
They're so inexpensive. And again, the financial knowledge, right? Like, so we didn't know that it was as affordable as it is, or that we needed it. Yeah, but you know,
so avoidance.
So either passing it off to your spouse, or like you said, just kind of just putting everything off. I'll get to it one day, and that day is going to come one day. So there's an avoidant approach. There's the reactive approach. So that's when, you know, you're just taking things on as they come. So your kids need something, you're just paying for it. Then, you know, bills come up, a ticket, whatever it is, unexpected expenses, repairs, maintenance, and things like that. You're just dealing with things as they come up, and you're not really planning ahead. So you're always feeling like you're in some sort of crisis mode when you're reacting. It's just never very peaceful or settled. It's just always, things always come up. Life is always going to be happening to you. And so that's when you feel a lot of financial stress. And then there's the band-aid approach, where you kind of just, okay, let me tackle one thing at a time, and just trying to, like, you know, just patchwork it, your finances. And so a lot of people focus on their credit score, right? Like, let me get my credit score up. And, you know, they'll pay off some things on collections to boost their score. They'll do different things to try to boost their score. And your score is an indication of like how well you're doing financially, but it doesn't tell you a whole picture. It really just gives you lenders, shows them your ability to pay your bills. So it doesn't really give people a good overall view of how they're doing financially, but that's something that a lot of people focus on when they're trying to get their finances together. Like, let me just focus on my credit. And that's the band-aid approach, right? Or let me just save some money. That's the band-aid approach. We have to take a holistic view of this so that we can really create some lasting change. Because again, if we're trying to change your money story, your money mindset, So that you can change your actions for the long haul. It takes more than just focusing on these little tiny things. So those are the three approaches that I see most when people are not managing and not dealing with their finances proactively. Those can be tough.
So especially nowadays, I think a lot of us probably are feeling it more than mm-hmm. what we understand, like with inflation, mm-hmm. The rise in cost of everything. Mm-hmm. I think, especially as a therapist, I feel like I have more conversations with clients around money and like money stressors. What would you say, especially now, is important to understand to just prepare for things? Because I think we haven't experienced this level of inflation in a long time.
Ever. This current rate, we've never in the history have inflation this high.
Yeah, like I remember when gas was high back when, like,
It wasn't this high.
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But you know, also, like, I'm like, what am I going to do?
You were stressing out. Yeah, we were stressing out at like $3. We were like, oh my gosh, you paying $3 at a pump. Like, you might get to $4. We were stressing out. Child, $4 is good these days.
Yeah.
Right? Like, So
with that being said, like, with the rise in cost of everything, what would you say to people more now about really, really being serious about managing and doing things with their money? Because we could talk about money story, but I also think a lot of people can get into survival mode because mm-hmm. there are so many options nowadays to make extra money, mm-hmm. which I want to talk. I know we talked a little bit about that in part two of just sometimes it's not scraping off. Sometimes it's really making more money. But mm-hmm. for you in general, talk about like, what do you, your work, like, what do you think people need to be preparing for and or just like really being mindful of?
Yeah. And mindful is my favorite word to use when it comes to your money. Like, I just want people to be more mindful of how they spend, right? Like, or just be mindful of how they manage their money, because I don't want to get too tired. But money management for me has four parts. So there's the money that you spend, there's the money that you save, there's the money that you give. So it doesn't matter how much money you're bringing in, you should always be able to give back some money to someone somewhere. And then the money that you invest. So the money that you're bringing in should really be managed into those four categories. So if you have, you know, just thinking about that, you have to be mindful and strategic about how you plan for your money if you know that your money has to hit all these different targets, right? And so creating a budget, I mean, it's really, we talk about it like in a sacrificial deprivation struggle type of way, but think of it as being proactive and being grateful for the money that you have and being mindful and intentional with it. Because I do believe that, you know, we talk about like abundance and God giving you blessings. Like, child, if you want these blessings, like if you're not managing the money that he has, if you're not being a good steward of the money that you have right now, that he's giving you right now, what do you think? Why do you think he's going to give you more? Right. So we have to start there with being as mindful and intentional with the money that we have currently. By creating a budget, planning every dollar out. I am not a fan of like those percentages budget. So it used to be the 50, 30, 20, where 50% of your income will go to your needs, then 20% will go to your wants. And 30% will go to your wants, and then 20% will go to your savings. Especially when people are getting started, trying to put your numbers in those categories can be stressful as AF. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go ahead and line item each category and plan until you can make sure that all your money has a home, even if you're leaving some money in a category for miscellaneous or cushion money. So in case something comes up, you have a little buffer between you and life happening. And so that's the way to be most intentional and to really start being proactive and getting out of that reactive, avoidant and band-aid modes with your money, just trying to be as proactive as possible. And then set one goal. Let's set one goal first to hit So if it's to save, you know, a little emergency fund because, you know, your car keeps breaking down, because that was what was happening to us when we were trying to get out of debt. Every, it felt like every week that my truck was in the shop. And so, you know, we had a little emergency fund just for car repairs because we knew that that was going to be the thing that kept us in debt longer. So, you know, that was a goal for at that time, was to keep money in that savings account so we can continue to pay off our debt, right? Or not.
And I really like the stuff about being mindful, because so for people who don't have a budget, I will say eventually I got on board with budgeting. Like mm-hmm. me and my husband would sit down every single week. And for a while we did paper budget, and girl, I hated having the meetings with him. But eventually it got to a point to where he didn't have to keep saying, Roslyn, why did you overspend? Roslyn, why did you overspend? And it became more of a, now it's just almost, it's so autopilot for us to have a budget mm-hmm. that we know, like even we have a date night allotment. And every time we do a date, we're like, how much did we spend this month for a date night? Mm-hmm. And it's probably like $100. Now $100 and a lot for a really nice date, let me just say. But like, if we want to go grab some food and like go to a park and eat, or just go to the movies or do whatever, mm-hmm. we've allotted that for us.
Yeah.
And like you said, miscellaneous, that's an area of our budget. We just put like $100, and it's just yeah. like random stuff that you don't think about in the month, that like randomly he had to pay his tags and it was like $85 that goes into miscellaneous. And so those things that you don't really think about are helpful, but having a home for your money, because it's such a spreadsheet, like every month, yeah, you got all this money coming in, but where is it going? And so those things add up over time. And if you don't have a budget or you don't have a place where these things go, you're constantly going to be worried about transactions being taken out of your account, and you don't know how much is going to be you'll have for the rest of the month. And so I think yeah. those things become, it becomes so much easier when you have a place and a name for everything, because yeah. you're not concerned. Like, we do not go to sleep concerned about money. Mm-hmm. And it's so much easier. Even when our son was born, I talked about this with you before, like we saved about, I want to say, he probably put away over the course, I was paying like $1,500 for Elijah. We use that now for diapers and toys, and like, mm-hmm. things you don't have to think about. But like, I just spent so much money on him for summer goodies. Like, we bought yeah. a little sprinkler thing for him that was not planned in our budget, but because we had saved that, and he's a year and a half now, we did that yeah. when I was pregnant. Those things make it less stressful because we had already planned ahead. Mm-hmm. And it does not happen overnight. Nico and I've been married 4 years. It's taken us probably close to this amount of time to like get it right. But it doesn't mean like this small amount of time in the grand scheme of our marriage will make more sense long term because we've handled it. And so I think the avoidance really becomes just a short-term feeling mm-hmm. over the long-term goal. And I like what you said about really just creating one goal. One goal for us was emergency fund.
Yeah.
And it became like, okay, let's have 3 to 6 months of expenses. Mm-hmm. I remember when I quit my job to go into entrepreneurship, we had like 8 months worth of expenses saved.
Nice.
Because yeah. we were so like, we need to make sure I'm okay, but also it doesn't make sense for me to hop out of a job and not be prepared mm-hmm. For the long haul. And in between the time we bought a house, like there's just, it just, yeah. it becomes less stressful when you do address it head on. And I think at 29, 28, when we first got married, I didn't really understand at the time. Now at almost 32, I'm like, girl, praise God you did that. Okay.
Right. And so I love that you mentioned that, because that is so true. I think that is one of the reasons why people are in that yo-yo phase where they're on the wagon and off the wagon with their finances and budgeting and money management. It's because it's not really, it's not easy in the beginning, right? Like
you don't have 3 to 6 months of expenses saved, sis. Right. You are sometimes paying off debt mm-hmm. to be able to have more income. We paid off our cars. That was $600 of yeah. extra money. It was probably like close to $600 extra money. Imagine what you would do if you had $700 extra money in your account. Yeah. from just taking the time to just say, okay, we're going to pay a little bit more. We're going to pay a little bit more. We're going to be intentional about paying it.
Yep.
But it wasn't like that at first until now. Like, you couldn't pay me to have a car. No, but if I had, one, okay. But just
it's not easy in the beginning, right? Like, putting all this stuff together, like you said, like our budget meetings when we first started probably took us like an hour. I want to say probably like an hour, hour and a half for us to sit down and plan everything out, and we would forget stuff and then we'd be trying to reconcile and figure out. And then at that time we had a whole bunch of different accounts and all these credit cards that we're paying off. So it was chaotic, right? It was really disorganized. And so it took a while for us to get everything together. But we were so focused on getting out of debt and saving money and creating the life that I saw, that I was so focused on that it didn't matter what I had to do. I was committed to doing it. Right. But now our budget conversations, like even for like to create a monthly budget, probably take like 30 minutes. Our weekly check-ins is like a 10-minute, okay, what happened last week? What happened this week? Where do we need to move money? What's coming? Like, it's so quick. So the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And I feel like people never really give themselves a chance to get to that phase because they've given up because they went over budget, or it was too hard, or the software that the app that they were using or the spreadsheet that they were using, they didn't like it. And so, you know, it's really about finding the system that works for you, but persevering through that initial, like the start phase. You're not going to be good at it at the beginning. You're going to get it wrong and you have to be okay with that. But I think something else that you said about, you were talking about saving for your kids. Yeah. I mean, just having the foresight to kind of just plan ahead to create that why and to
get. I don't even know why we have foresight, girl. I was just like, Nico, we need to have a little savings account. He was like, okay.
Yeah. Just having a little bit of foresight will help you to get connected to whatever it is that you want to accomplish.
And I think too, I like how you said the perseverance with the start phase, because I think again, it took us about a year. I had a $5,000 credit card. We had, I think, the rest of the payments on our cars. We had a couple of credit cards Nico had, and Nico is not a spender. They were like $200 to $300. And I'm like, why don't you just pay these off? He's like, I'll pay it when we get the money. And I'm like,
okay,
bro, we have the money. Just pay it. But also, it took some time to get to that point. Mm-hmm. We were just being very intentional. And also, trusting your spouse, if they are, you know, I don't know everybody's spouse, but trusting your spouse in the process is really important. Cause at one point I gave him my cards. I was like, pick them from me, because it was just so, so hard. But also the other thing that I want to say, which is what we and Tiffany kind of been saying, is why mindset work in the beginning is so important. Because if, let's just say you're someone that constantly buys fast food, are you someone that buys fast food out of an emotional place? Is it out of convenience? Are you like, I just want to get this right now because I have it, I'll worry about it later. This is why mindset is so important. How can you create an opportunity to prepare and do other things? And you sometimes can't address the creating the budget if the mindset piece isn't there first, because those numbers will scare you and make you want to throw everything away.
Child. Yeah. Like I said, I did an overhaul of my process because, you know, initially, because I started my business in 2020, but what I had my clients doing first was looking at their finances. So we would start with the financial audit, be like, all right, girl, let's go ahead and see what's going on here. And when I tell you, like, it was not an easy experience, and I was there coaching them through the whole process, but my clients were so fearful and resistant to even like pull. I was like, you know, for a small additional fee, I can organize it for you. They wouldn't even send it to me. Like, they didn't want to pull back that curtain at all. Right. Like, it was complete ignorance is bliss type of attitude with it. But once you see what's going on, it's really freeing to see, you know, oh, okay, either, you know, wasn't as bad as I thought, or wow, I didn't realize that this is what was happening. But this is why I switched the process to focusing on mindset first, so that when we do get to the part where we're pulling up numbers, you know, one, that shock kind of goes away, but you know why you're doing this, and we know what thoughts and action, or thoughts we're looking for and feelings we're looking looking for, what those sorts of triggers, so that we can be proactive in how we respond to that. But you can't really do any of those sorts of things without a high level of awareness. And so, you know, that's why the mindset piece is so important, because we're bringing awareness to the thoughts, to the money story, to the beliefs that are have gotten you to where you are. And we have to address those if we're going to change your trajectory.
And also, I think the great part about your process now too, like you said, with the dreaming, it takes away the feeling of being stuck. Cause I think that is, oh my God, that is just so often what you feel in the process. It's like, it'll always be this way. Mm-hmm. I'll always have this debt. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to get out of it. Even if you're proactively paying it off or proactively doing it, until it's really gone, you really don't feel the impact of it in the process. And so I think it's really important to know that dreaming is a part of the process. Like I think I told you before, but I was telling Nico once, I said, when my kids get like close to like 7 or 8 or like something, I want to buy an RV. And every summer we just drive around the country. He was like, the most random. Like, why, that is so random. I said, you're going to have to work a remote job eventually, because I really want us to travel in the summer. And he was just like, what? But I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I want to buy an RV. Yeah. I want to travel. I want our kids to be able to say, oh my God, that summer we went to the Grand Canyon. That is a dream that I really want to have.
Yeah.
Now Elijah's not even close to 8 years old, but just thinking about those things are making it exciting to eventually plan for. And so yeah. I think a part of just being able to not even have to go as far as having an RV, but being able to go to sleep at night and you're not concerned about finances, mm-hmm. being able to like go to the store and say, I have this amount of money to spend and I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. And I think more than importantly, it's so important nowadays to do that just because of the consistency of the way our economy is looking, why it's important to have your personal finances taken care of.
Yeah. And also giving yourself, or yeah, I'm trying to stop using that, giving yourself grace. Cause I feel there's a really fine line between giving yourself grace and making excuses. We don't have to get into that right now, but.
No, you talk about it. Cause I think the excuses part is the avoidance of mm-hmm. just like personal responsibility, because it is, and personal responsibility does not feel good. It's really taking into account, these are the things I've done. Y'all was buying bundles of hair. I was 20, I was like 26, 27, and I was like, I'm gonna learn how to make a wig, and I was buying all this little hair from like charging the card.
But at least you were, I was that friend. Like all my friends loved going to the club with me, because I would be buying bottles. I would be like drinks on me. Okay. McDonald's after, I put McDonald's on credit cards, that McDonald's from the after parties on credit cards. Okay. We won't have to talk about that.
but personal responsibility is important. Like,
yeah. Personal responsibility is really important, but you know, giving yourself the grace, because we're talking about decades of money story and beliefs that we are trying to, you know, shift and reframe. And so it's going to take time. So I want you, you know, to be gentle and patient with yourself as you go through the process, because you're going to can always learn new things about yourself. You know, right now, my husband and I are in the process of transitioning to minimalism. And one thing that I realized, one of the things that made me want to make the shift was that I realized that, you know, now that we've got this debt paid off, now we're making money, you know, we have the house, we have the kids, we still have surplus, and I have the ability to now give my kids the things not only that they need, but I can give them the things that they want too. And so I bought them like all the things that they want, and now my house is full of stuff and my kids, right? So like, you know, this is a new feeling for me. I didn't realize that, you know, even getting to the stage, the next stage of where I wanted to be in life, that would create a different mindset shift that I have to make. So now, you know, now the shift that I'm making is, not my kids don't need everything that they want, but just also, you know, just working through that mindset of that next level of success and being okay with not necessarily sacrificing everything, but there's always going to be some sort of mindset shift and challenging your beliefs and your thoughts in the process of getting your finances together. So give yourself grace, because again, we're talking about decades of mindset work and beliefs that we're going to be dealing with.
This is why I always say, like, your mental health has to be a priority, because it impacts every single area. We're just talking about money. Mm-hmm. We're talking about relationships. How you, it can impact every area of your life. And so this was so good, Tiffany. So why don't you tell the people where they can find you, and then we all will see her in part two.
Yeah, so you can connect with me on Instagram and on Facebook at The Lotus Legacy. Like I said, I'm a personal financial coach. I work with clients in group settings and in one-on-one. So if you are interested in working with me, the best way to reach me is to connect with me on Instagram. That's me. It's a real person. So you can shoot me a message and let me know that you heard me on the podcast and that you wanted to connect. And I would love to hear from you.
Yay! And you definitely, like, y'all, I will say this, even if money is a struggle, like, there's no amount of money that you can ever be able to spend where you can get investment in yourself. Mm-hmm. And from someone who's walked the walk and talked the talk, but also you don't have to feel like you're doing this alone. I will always say invest in coaching. I will always say invest in yourself in some way where you're getting time taken off, because coaches, I will say, they take time. Mm-hmm. and time, and also, like, all the crazy things you're thinking in between time, they take that time off because they're walking you through the process. So if you have the ability, definitely make your investment in yourself. So I love y'all, and we'll see you in part two, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.